Good news for vipers. I came up with that title because, as you will know, John the Baptist is preaching out in the desert there, and he says, "Who warned you, brood of vipers?" You might have thought he might have thought of a better evangelistic strategy than that, but it's described by Luke as good news. That was good news. We'll come on to that later on. But there's lots of really good things in today's readings. There's a couple of slides I'm going to show. Here's some of the words that are from Isaiah 12, for example. Isaiah 12 tells us that God came to save. That's why God came, to save. Also tells us that God gives victory. That the Holy One who lives amongst us is great. And that joy is a result of receiving these truths. I'm thinking about joy today. And joy comes as a result of receiving the truths of God's word. Now remember, the context of these words when Isaiah was writing or speaking was a time of difficulty in the nation. The people of Judah had already seen the people of Israel exiled, taken over by the Assyrians. And now the same threat was to them. They were going to be taken off to Babylon for exile. And so, a time of oppression, a time of difficulty, Isaiah the prophet, God speaks through him these words to remind the people that God gives victory, that God has come to save. We always need to hear these sorts of encouraging words. It doesn't matter what age we live in. Certainly, it felt like a bit of a storm, I think, at the time when Isaiah was speaking. And maybe for some of us, we feel like it's a bit of a storm just now that we're living in. I love the story that John tells in his gospel of Jesus in the storm. It's after Jesus has fed the crowd of 5,000 people, and that's such a miraculous thing. The people decide he must be the Messiah. They want to make him their king. But Jesus knows it's not his time, and he doesn't work that way. So he doesn't hang around for the adulation of the crowd. He doesn't go on to do another miracle. What does he do? He disappears up a mountain. It seems to be that's God's way of saying, well, I don't work by coercion, I work by invitation. And Jesus needed to spend time listening to what the will of God was. So he withdrew from the crowd and went up a mountain. So we can see Jesus exemplifying God's nature there. And even the disciples, they start to look for him, but they can't find him, so they decide to get back in the boat and row to the other side of the lake from where they came. Now, when they're out in the lake, a storm comes. I think we've got a picture of a storm here. A storm arises in the middle of the lake. And it's not until Jesus is seen, the disciples see Jesus, and they invite him into the boat, that things improve. God is with them. And John tells us that as soon as Jesus gets in the boat with the disciples, they immediately reach their destination. Now, in other words, it's the presence of God in the person of Jesus the Christ that made the difference. And I think in Matthew and Mark's version of this story, they talk about Jesus calming the storm. Well, John doesn't say that. He doesn't tell us that Jesus calmed the storm. Because I think what John wants us to understand is that the most important thing is that it's the person of Christ that made the difference. And the storm might still be raging all around, but if the person of Christ is in the boat with the disciples, then they can immediately reach their destination. They're no longer held back. So maybe it was the storm kept raging, but John wanted us to know that. Now, I don't know about you, but I think Brexit is a bit of a storm at the moment. And I need to know that there's hope. I need to know that there's still the potential for peace and joy. I need to know that the presence of God is with me so that I don't become overly anxious. And I think we might all agree with that. And we need our leaders to know that there is hope as well. And so we need to be praying for our leaders, especially at this time of Brexit. Now, when John the Baptist talked about the one who was to come after him, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire, I think that's what he was talking about. He was talking about this real presence of God being with people, ordinary people like you and me, in such a way that it would make a difference to us. We would know in the deep parts of our being that God was with us. Next slide. So when John tells us about Emmanuel, that word in Hebrew means God with us, he's also pointing to that presence within as God with us. It might have started in Bethlehem with the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, a particular birth at the time, but it hasn't stopped there. The incarnation is a word that's used to describe this process of God becoming human, of taking on flesh in Christ, of moving into the neighborhood, as one translation puts it, of pitching his tent amongst us. That was the beginning of something mysterious which represented the union of the divine God with all of life and everything that is not divine even. So that first incarnation, which we celebrate at Christmas, of Jesus of Nazareth, the birth of Christ, it was a perfect fusion of the Holy Spirit and flesh coming together. And it was the beginning of a new movement, which made God easier to love and easier to relate to, because we could understand God in human form. Human beings could get to know who God is. So God didn't stop with that incarnation. He continued on, because God wants all to know him intimately. God wants all to know that this was the beginning in Christ of the body of Christ, which goes on today. Now, one of the writers in the Bible is called Paul. He wrote lots of letters, the Apostle Paul. And in one of his letters to the Colossians, he puts it like this. He says, Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Well, what does that mean? Well, Paul goes on to say, let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, and let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. So then, the life of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, is the root of life in us. And it's that presence of God which John the Baptist prepared people to receive, and which even today we are passing on to one another, the invitation to receive the same presence of Christ. That is good news. And that's why even for vipers, this is good news. And it's surely the whole point of preaching. Next slide, Chris. Good news for vipers. That really struck me this week when I was reading that verse, as I said at the beginning, that John the Baptist's strange style of preaching, which sounds to us very harsh and critical, Luke describes it as being good news, because he says, in many other ways, John shared the good news with the people. That was good news. Now, good news might be, for example, as John said, it might be to turn back. He said to the people, repent. That means to turn back. Good news can be to turn back rather than keep on doing the same old thing. We've all come across situations in our life where we realize we need to stop and do something differently. Well, that can be good news when that moment occurs to us. So it might mean it's time to stop a certain way of living. It might mean it's time to start living in a new direction. It might mean that it's time to be content with what we have One of the things John says to those who come to him, what about us? He says, be content with your pay. It might mean to start sharing clothing and food with the poor. Someone else came to John and said, how are we to put this into practice? And he said, well, if you've got two shirts, then share one with another. And if you've got more food than you need, then give it to the poor. It might mean making room for more of Christ until Christ is all and in all. I love the verse in Isaiah 12 where it says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And from the well of salvation, I will drink the Lord's salvation. In other words, from the well, wells are deep places. There's a deep place within each of us that we can engage with God in. And from that, we can receive further blessing, more of what it means to be in Christ. So will you go and will you share Christ one with another? Will you remember the words of St. Teresa of Avila who said this? Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which the compassion of Christ must look out onto the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ is to go about doing good. And yours are the hands which Christ is to bless all people. Let us pray together. Thank you, God, that you speak to us in the deep places of our hearts. Help us to hear you always and to follow Christ more closely and to know that we are caught up as part of his body here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.